You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
And I'm your co-host, the Ginger Avenger.
Yeah, since we're recording on Mother's Day, I figure I would, bring the wife in. And also, wasn't allowed to come out and play tonight, so...
We're gonna say that like it wasn't actually just a last-minute,
last-minute emergency recording.
Yay for me, it's Mother's Day and I get to record! No, that's not how that went down, but okay.
Hey, spending an hour and a half with me is all the present you need.
Baby, I love you, but no... No.
Hey, we're locked in the studio. The kids can't get to you.
True. That's true.
So,
well, the kids didn't even call today. They didn't even bother to...
Anyway, so this week, since like I said, it's an emergency cigar, so we don't... our emergency podcast, so you don't have one tonight. I'm smoking the CAO Fasa Noche, a.k.a. The Night. Maybe. I don't know. My
Noche. Latin's that sounds rough. Right.
Yeah. Hasta noche. I think that's good night, isn't it?
Hasta noche? Hasta would be later? I don't know. Some things don't translate exactly. I'm not sure.
This has a Connecticut broadleaf wrapper with a Cameroon binder and fillers of Dominican Palato Cubano, Nicaraguan Jalapa, Nicaraguan Esteli, and Nicaraguan Condega tobaccos.
Damn, say that five times fast.
Medium to full strength cigar. And what's kind of cool about this is it comes in, there is the noche and then there's the soul. So there's the dark and the light, the day and the night, however you want to describe it. So internally they're both the same, but this one has the Connecticut broadleaf and the other one I believe has a habano wrapper on it. So you get, it kind of shows you what, how much of your flavor comes from your wrapper tobacco, because, you know, the blend is all the same, but that's the big difference is what it's wrapped in.
Well, I was trying to Google it. I guess it is loosely goodnight, because that's kind of what I came up with, but that was the best that I got from Google. My Google foo is not strong. My Google foo is extremely weak.
Oh, well, now that we've got the cigar introductions out of the way, we're talking, this is a part two podcast pretty much, because we're going to talk about Rebel Moon Part 2 Scargiver.
Yes.
If you can make it any more dramatic sounding. And if you have to fight off the Imperium of the Homeworld, you should call on the Strike Force, StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use your promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order. Comes in tiny little tin pouches, so you can smuggle them throughout the galaxy.
Or a gigantic big bass bottle, which is what we need right now. I need some of that. We need to order some more.
Well, use promo code Cigar Nerds when you
do. Well, no kidding. Every time. Thank you very much. I do.
It's been a while since.
Yeah, we haven't had Strike Force in a while. We need to get some Strike Force.
So yeah, this is going to be, I don't know how, a couple months ago we did part one, so part two has come out, the good and the bad, the ugly of it, and we're going to get right into discussing that as soon as we return.
They're a nightmare. Is you and I fighting together?
You must know you cannot win.
You're all here because there is nothing to return to. Dark days lie ahead of us all. We will teach you how to fight. That's impressive. The Scargivers among them. Those this village holds most dear. I shall destroy them.
Hey, welcome back. It's time to talk about mooning people. I mean, Rebel Moon Part 2.
I'm sorry, you got more experience with that than I do. I believe at some point you left handprints on the fucking windshield of Mike's car. Or not windshield.
It was the truck.
The truck, whatever.
It was his dad's truck, too. That's why we got in trouble.
Yes, but not for what you're thinking. Not for the reason you think.
So, yeah, this is part two of Zack Snyder's, you know, I'm going to make my own Star Wars with cocaine and hookers. Or is it blackjack and hookers? However,
I don't remember any cocaine. I must not have paid enough attention. I don't remember cocaine and hookers, but...
That's an old saying from, like, Bender from, you know, screw you guys. I'm going to go start my own thing with cocaine and hookers.
Oh, well, I didn't watch a lot of Futurama, but okay.
So that meme gets, like, you know, filtered in here and there. So it's like, Zack Snyder's like, y'all want to let me make Star Wars? Fine, I'll go make my own Star Wars with cocaine and hookers.
Yeah, it was kind of Star Wars, but there was something else. When we were watching it, I was thinking about there was something else that reminded me of, like...
Oh, I know.
Like, Fifth Element a little bit, and...
No, that's not it.
What?
All right. Believe me, it's not a bad movie, and we'll get into the good. But, like, right off the bat, let's, like, say what's wrong with this shit. It's the Magnificent Seven. It's the Magnificent Seven in space. It's the exact fucking same story.
Yeah, it is. Okay, I'll give you that.
I'm pretty sure there was even seven of them. There was the Scargiver, the farmer guy, the general, the... Indian king guy, the rebel. There was the sword lady.
And the other girl.
I suppose the rebel.
No, okay, so.
Well, then there was also the pirate, but he got killed in part one.
Okay, well, technically eight, if you count Robot Boy.
Oh, yeah, Robot Boy, that would have been seven.
No.
Yeah, Robot.
The pirate in part one, that would have been seven.
In the first movie, but he got killed. Okay, but in this movie, you had the robot. That's seven.
Mister, I want to go be a deer in the woods with the giant antlers. Whatever turns your crank, buddy.
I mean, that's like the reluctant warrior from Magnificent Seven, or even Magnificent Seven is a remake of Seven Samurai.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's like that story is kind of as old as time, because Seven Samurai is an old black and white, probably from the 50s maybe. I don't know, it's old as shit, but yeah, it's like Magnificent Seven...
Ocean's 11, you know.
But it's a old western, and before that a samurai movie, about a tiny village who's getting picked on by marauders, and they don't have any warriors of their own, so they send one of the villagers out
to go find warriors
to bring back to defend the town, and then these warriors, you know, train the village to fight off the incoming marauders, but instead of it being Spanish banditos, it's the Imperium.
Okay, so as far as, you know, we're talking about the bad, the acting was not great. I mean, it was good, and yeah, this is a lower budget type thing, and yeah, you're not gonna have A-listers.
But no, they had A-listers. All these characters are actors in big things, but you can only act as well as it's written.
Well, that's true. Maybe the writing wasn't great.
Yeah, Zack Snyder, how can I put this? Great visual director? His storytelling's a little weak. A little weak.
Yeah, the emotions were kind of phoned in. it wasn't great.
Because
it was a fun movie to watch. I mean, I liked both parts of it, but it was not great.
Dimmijan Hounsou, General Titus, the big black dude.
He's been in a bunch of shit.
Like, I know that guy can act.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff. And he's usually really good.
So if the acting's weak, it's like, nah, that falls on the director to be like, yeah, that's the take we're gonna go with.
We're gonna go with that one. Y'all are all hungover and coked out, and not one of you slept this last night, but we're gonna go with it. If that's the scene we want, that's the take we want. Like, no, not so much.
I mean, fucking...
The battle scenes were okay.
Killer Robot was Sir Anthony Hopkins. I mean, you can't get a better...
Yeah, but you can get a lot out of him just by voice acting alone. I mean, like, remember the third Transformers? No.
Yeah, he was our... It might have been the fourth one where he was like the kind of the old...
The reticent old Knight's Guard guy or whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like... I mean, they've got a, you know, a pretty big cast, but...
Kind of a shallow script.
They spent all the whatever...
We put our money into the action scenes. That's where it went.
Yes. And most of what... Where there's a lot of storytelling in part one. Part two is mainly action.
Mainly just violence. Just shooting people and going after them with tomahawks, which, you know, you got space laser guns, wire, using tomahawks. But because it looks cool, that's the reason.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, so basically they took Magnificent Seven, Seven Samurai, and just broke it into two films.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and possibly a third one.
I would assume so, based on the way it ended. But
well, based on the research I've done, part one and two were already greenlit. They were good to go on that. Part three has not yet been greenlit. You know, Snyder says he has a script. He's ready to go, but he's waiting on Netflix.
Yeah, well, we got to go find the undead. Oh, spoiler alert. We got to go find the undead princess, you know.
So... Yeah.
Princess
Snyder,
Issa.
Snyder and his writing team are prepared for a part three, but so far there's no news on when they're going to start filming that. Because these they pretty much did back to back. So we're not going to get
the actor said we were not going to do it any other way. We won't come back for another one. So
we're not going to get like where this one, where it's like part one and two were 3-4 months apart. You know, we're going to have to wait a while on part three because they've not even started making that thing yet. They're still waiting on the approval to go for it, which.
Yeah, but if we're going to be spending all our time in a spaceship searching for a princess, you know, it's not going to take as long to record. We don't have the big action shots if we're just going to go hunt for a princess.
No, you forgot the second part of their creed. You've got to find her and then fight, which is the dumbest catchphrase of many dumb catchphrases I've heard.
True.
Find her and fight. Find her. Like, that just doesn't have the...
There's not much appeal there. There's not a whole lot you can get behind. It's not a rallying cry for, like, you know...
That's the other reason why they haven't started part three, because Zack Snyder's like, I've used up all of Magnificent Seven. I don't know what to write next.
Yeah. You can't just get behind I've that, already, like, tea and cake or death. You know, it's not a rally.
It's like, I've already used up all my story. I don't know what to write about next.
Well, now we're hunting for a princess, so we could borrow something from Disney. We're in search of a lost princess.
Well, you know, our...
Zombie princess, because she was shot. She should have been dead.
You know... Well, yeah, talk about our, I'm only going to call him a guest star because he's probably in it for 5 minutes, but, you know, Carl, or Cary Elwes, I can never pronounce his name.
Elwes,
yeah. So he was the slain king that they talked about all of the first movie, so.
So we can fucking borrow
So now they just rip
Princess
off
Bride
Princess
now.
Bride is what I'm saying. You know, it's like, no, she wasn't dead. She was only mostly
dead.
I mean,
he's technically in charge of that movie anyway. I don't think anybody does anything with that movie without his permission, so it's.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's already, but you know, the, whatever, General Titus is like, yeah. No, she wasn't dead. She was mostly dead.
Yeah.
They took her to,
Mad Max.
Not Mad Max.
Mad Max the Miracle Worker. Max the Miracle Worker.
I think
something.
It was Max the Miracle Worker. Not Mad Max. Mad Max is, you know.
I thought it was. Okay.
The Australian guy in the desert.
They said true love, you bastard. Not to blame. They said true love. Sorry, I'm going off on a hold up. Princess Bride. We can do Princess Bride and do like a 3-hour podcast.
And speaking of like things I've seen before, is like the whole time there's something that, like action sequences are going on. There's something like something just looks off about this, and I finally realized that their pistols look like chromed out the I can't remember the model of them, but the Nerf guns, the strong arms, that's it. It's like this Nerf strong arm Nerf guns we use for like steampunk and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's pretty much either that or the Warhammer 40K bolter guns. It's like very similar shape. I'm like,
well, I'll tell you this, as far as actually I think you got one right over here, but as far as Star Wars, I'm thinking everybody went to the same fucking shooting school because fucking rebels can't shoot for... Or not rebels.
Well, they're farmers. They
not the rebels. The great, fucking other ones. The professional soldiers can't shoot for shit. You shoot like fucking stormtroopers. Nobody hits a goddamn thing. Motherfuckers running straight at you. Every one of them. The general is running straight at 50 guys. Not one shoots him because they can't aim for shit.
They're silly. Their armor, it's kind of like stormtrooper armor. They're all wearing like welding goggles. You can't see shit out of those. I know, I've tried. basically blacked out steampunk goggles.
I mean, motherfucker's running at me with a machete. Oh, look, I have a laser gun, but it doesn't fucking work. I can't shoot shit.
But, yeah, we've torn it apart here for minutes, but let's move on to some of the better things. Because it's not unwatchable. Like, there's stuff where I'm like, all right, this isn't an original idea, but it looks cool, and it's got some cool action, so it's worth donating.
I would almost say campy. It was a little campy, and that made it enjoyable, or I don't know. For me, I like campy movies, but the cast was good. The acting was not so great, but like you said, that's probably because the script is not so great.
And, you know, this movie is so, I would say, visual effects heavy that, I mean, sometimes it's hard to act against when you're just in a big green room, probably. Like they
probably. I mean, the emotional scenes were just not it. Except for the one where the chick died and then the little boy. That one was pretty good, but the rest of it's just, oh, I've done horrible things. Let's make love and you're going to tell me it's all going to be all right. What the fuck? Get the fuck out of here.
I mean,
I love you. I love you. Oh, so what?
We'll get to that in a minute. So yeah, we start off with, you know, as we saw in the last movie there, they think they've killed the Admiral, so the evil Imperium soldiers are all going to fuck off back to base, so like, we're not even going to have to fight, and they're like,
because that's policy, or that's
protocol.
Protocol. Protocol is to go back to base.
But as we, the audience, know, he did not die. He, again, only mostly
dead. Only nearly dead. I'm not dead yet. Bring out.
They brought him to the, you know, Miracle Max with the funky hat, and
yeah, gave him the chocolate covered coffee bean, and
stuck a neon tube up his ass, apparently, from the
and goo. So yeah. Much goo.
The chrysalis. Like,
it was gross. It was gross.
Reminded me of Neo waking up in the pod in the first Matrix.
Oh God. Oh God, no. No, no.
It's a lot of goo and pipe.
Shut up. I normally don't get, I do not get grossed out by blood or guts or any. Goo is a different thing.
That's the title of this episode, Goo and Pipes.
Makes me want to vomit. Fucking pink, slimy goo, like you've been swallowed by a fucking octopus.
Dropped in the river of slime from Ghostbusters 2.
That was not as bad for some reason. It's not quite as bad. Now, when they start hosing it all over everybody, there's a reason my children don't have slime. They're not allowed to have it because it grosses me out.
So I shouldn't buy a ticket to the slime wrestling show.
Slime, no. What do you mean slime? I've never heard of slime.
I don't know. I just made that shit up because I thought it'd be funny and gross you out.
I don't eat Jell-O. You know that, because that's... No. I don't eat gummy bears. It's gross.
But in this one, we, you know, during the sweet farming and training montages of, like, all right, our big plan is...
We're going to harvest all this shit really fast. They said, how long does it take you? Usually a half a cycle. No, we're going to do it in 3 days. And then they did it in one. One day of fucking harvesting this whole...
So yeah, since the soldiers are coming to steal their wheat, they're like, well, if we stack the wheat around the houses, they can't just blow us up from orbit because they don't want to lose their prize. So we're going to force them to come down and fight us man to man instead of bombing us to bejesus and coming in and collecting the
And that was the funny part, too, when they showed it. When they came up on the planet, there's like one tiny little village farming community on the entire fucking planet. You cannot.
No, they didn't, because like in the last movie, they rode their horses to town to get. They're just way out in the middle of no fucking where.
Oh, well, okay.
There is an actual city with a spaceport, you know, just a couple days ride away, though.
Mm. Well, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like the amount of wheat that one little tiny village could grow is so inconsequential. But I don't know.
So yeah. But during these training montages, we get flashbacks to everyone's backstory. So since they didn't really tell much of backstories in the first half, it's like, all right, let's give everyone a a full, complete, like, oh, fuck, I forgot to give in these people backgrounds in the last movie.
We're sitting there the night before the battle, and what is your story? Oh, my father beat me with a spoon, and I didn't like it, so I ran away from home, and then he died, and now I feel bad.
So, yeah, first we get Korra and, shit, what was Homeboy's name?
I don't remember. I don't remember even giving him a name.
That's how,
God, what was it? Something. He's our, so-and-so is our heart. What, when they gave him the banners or whatever.
Well, Ingvar was the old man that.
Shit, I don't remember.
Gunnar.
Oh, okay. I don't remember hearing it more than like once or twice.
Yeah, so he's like the local farmer that went with her on her quest to find warriors, and they end up falling in love because she tells him, well, what happened was, because, you know, he knew about her when, like, these soldiers show up, and they're like, oh, she's, like, the most wanted person in the galaxy. She's like, well, I was the bodyguard to the princess, and the king got killed, so I fled because I failed at my job.
What the fuck? I'm not even touching anything.
It's the wires to the head.
I'm not touching it!
But you're moving, and that's moving the wires.
Mm. I'm not touching anything!
So he's like, alright, you told me this earlier, but just running abandoning your post doesn't make you the most wanted person in the galaxy, so, you know, what's up? And she's like, well, yeah, I was the princess's guardian, but my father, our adopted father, Belisario, decided, it basically pulled a Caesar. The warlord king had kind of softened with having kids and was like, all right, now we've expanded enough, we're going to turn to peace. And so he ambushes the king at the coronation of their newest
It was her ship. Her first royal duty was to
christen the ship. And, which they were going to call Peacemaker, because he's like, now we're no longer dominating the galaxy, we're going to start being peaceful and good neighbors and whatnot. And of course the senators can't have that shit because, you know, kind
of
like...
Because they're also the head of the military. Because if your head of the military is the one making your decisions, they don't want
to
quit.
Anyone who's got connections to the military-industrial complex does not... You know, peace is not profitable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
So, him and some of the other... I guess they were senators. They never... There was a bunch of dudes in robes, but they never really explained who the rest of those fuckers were.
Somebody else in the military chain, I'm sure.
Kills the king and queen and...
during a violin concert, which is twice as nasty. You know, we're having this massive violin concert with these people with bags over their heads and one eyeball. I don't really understand the symbolism there, but...
Well, everyone else there was part of the conspiracy, so they couldn't have any witnesses.
Oh, yeah, because the musicians can't see who did it, but they fucking heard what went on. We're not stupid.
But yeah, that was like, all right, you know, they can't... If anyone asks, they can't say, yes, I witnessed that.
Yes, I saw it. No, you didn't. You just heard it, which is close enough.
But they can't tell who did what.
So let's play this Mozart concert while you're, you know, slaughtering the
And it turns
royalty.
To like, whatchamacallit, to like climactic, or not even climactic, but suspenseful music, like during the, it's like, it turns into like a horror movie soundtrack. It's like, all right, we want you to play this piece of music here. It's like perfectly choreographed to like the murder and mayhem that's going on as they kill the king and queen. But it was Korra's job to kill the princess. And since her father was the one ordering it, she did. But then it turned out to all be a trap because he basically only adopted her so he could use her as the scapegoat. So as soon as she kills the princess, she's like, oh my God, what you've done? You've killed a king and queen. And of course, the dudes with the bags over their heads that didn't see who did what be like, Yeah, we heard Belisario say this bitch murked all these people. It must be true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, instead of dying as she was supposed to, she fought her way out and fled and ended up becoming a farmer.
Why not? That's just like you do. That's how you do, you know.
And then we get badass General Titus's backstory. Because, like I said, after that, they all kind of like, you know, spend... these days farming and training all the farmers, and they kind of have one last dinner amongst them. And he's like, all right, you know, if we're going to do this, we have to know who exactly we're fighting with. So I want all of us to like kind of confess our secrets and So we know exactly who we're dealing with, and he's like, I'll go first, and basically he...
It's a big old round of two truths and a lie, you know, why not?
So yeah, his backstory was that he was, like, you know, led this ship of men, and they were ordered by Belisarius to wipe out this planet for voting for independence, and he's like, nah, this is bullshit. And
ain't want nothing to do with none of that.
And tried to defend the world and got his ass kicked. And then he's like, well, yeah, we lost, but like I surrendered making the deal.
He offered himself over in exchange for his men's lives.
And basically they just like killed all his men while he watched and then sent him to the gladiator pits or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, whatever happens, win or lose, I will not surrender tomorrow. So y'all must know that if you're going to follow me in the battle, there's going to be no quarter.
Like, fuck all. I don't care. I'm going, you know.
I'm going out in a... And then our...
Blaze of glory? Is that where you're
Yeah.
Going?
Our crazy... what's his name? The...
They were all crazy.
No, the homeboy taking an axe to a gunfight.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember. Their names were not mentioned much, and their names were difficult, so I don't recall what their names were.
Tarak.
Tarak, there you go.
He was apparently he, you know, he was the animal wrangler and a blacksmith that they picked up along the way. It turns out he was actually a prince, and his parents' planet decided to stand up to the Imperium, and they all got killed, and he was ordered to flee to preserve the bloodline, and he's like, you know, guilty. He's like, cause it didn't matter me leaving because
our planet was massacred, and so, now I'm the only one left of the bloodline, so it doesn't fucking matter anymore. There's no more planet.
So he's like, you know, if I survive this tomorrow, then that's my plan, is to return to my planet and try to liberate it if there's anybody left.
Anything left.
And of course, Rebel Girl, you know, says pretty much the same thing happened to her planet. She was kind of sold into slavery, and then the rebels freed her work camp, so that's why she joined the rebellion.
Oh. Snap, crackle, fucking pop. I'm getting old.
And of course, when it's Korra's turn, she's like, no, I was just a soldier. I fucked up.
I've already told you. Y'all knew this. We didn't know. Uh-uh.
Yeah, so, you know, it, of course, General's like, are you sure that's all you want to tell us? And he's like, no, that's pretty much, are you sure that's it?
Bitch, I got the dirt on you already. I already know your shit.
And
the other girl's backstory was cool, though. That was pretty fucking
Nemesis,
awesome.
Who's, like, basically the freaking Jedi of the group, because, you know, she's got flaming swords.
She's actually the samurai.
Yeah, so apparently, her world was also destroyed by the Imperium, and her people, even though peaceful farmers now, used to be master swordsmiths and had, like...
We were professional badasses, and then we took up farming.
So, yeah, so she pulls out these basically cyborg hands that are matched with the swords and, like, cuts her own arms off and replaces them with the robot arms so she can be a better sword fighter. And she's like, I never spilt blood until I spilt my own, and then I, you know, started stacking bodies.
And then I spilt everybody's. Then I went after everybody's ass. She was cool, though. She was my favorite, I think.
Yeah, she was a badass. But yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, that's your Star Wars. Because like I said, her sword's like...
Glow
red. And just look a little bit lightsabery without being lightsabers. Because they're actual physical swords. But then they get hot or something when you
Yeah, but they look like
them.
Butcher knives almost. Because they were just square or rectangular looking like... I don't know, like a pirate cutlass or something. It was weird. Not a cutlass, that's the round one. I don't remember what the square one is called, but...
Like elongated butcher knife.
Kind of. I mean, they're kind of like cleaver. A cleaver, basically, but longer. But there was a name for it, and I just can't remember what it is now. There's a name for that particular type of sword or weapon.
Yeah, General keeps pushing, so she decides to, like, throw some shade at him to... He's like, oh yeah, well, how's the water doing? He's like, what? Because, like, he's been, like, this...
Drunk and stupor the whole time.
And he's like, yeah, He's like poured out his whiskey and has been drinking water the last couple days because he wants to keep up appearances, but he doesn't want us to know he really cares about the outcome of this battle. And he's like, homeboy comes over and grabs his flask and takes a swig. He's like, motherfucker, this is water.
I don't want to be seen as soft.
You hydrated motherfucker.
How dare you hydrate? How dare you properly hydrate? Especially if you're out there fucking harvesting a month's worth of wheat in a day. And then building a whole tunnel system under the entire fucking village. And wiring it to blow, which was awesome.
Hey, if they...
Now, look here. Bunch of... It's fucking amateur hour tonight, that is for sure. We are fucking shit up in here.
Oh. Well, I don't know if the Hasidic Jews up in New York can build tunnels underneath this city. Yeah.
Huh?
It must be not that hard. You didn't hear about that on the news?
No.
Yeah, they watched
the news.
There was like recently like a whole bunch of they found all these tunnels under like Brooklyn or something somewhere that apparently like all these like Hasidic Jews had like I guess that didn't want to be stuck inside during COVID built these tunnels and shit so they could move around the city without being
noticed. Pretty fucking clever. But
yeah, there was like video on the news of like these dudes coming out of the ground like fucking Ninja Turtles and shit.
Oh, well, fuck yes. I could live underground. I could do that. I don't like sun anyway.
Fuck the light.
Yes, I belong in the darkness. That is my home. That's where I should be.
You're just a mushroom.
I'm not a mushroom. I'm a possum. I'm three possums in a trench coat.
Oh. So yeah, but... Yeah, like you're saying, that whole, like, montage of them prepping, pretty much same thing from Magnificent Seven, but, yeah, they're, all the,
That was an 80s montage from everything ever. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're building a house, cleaning a house, fucking getting ready for war, it's the same montage for everything.
I mean, it even pulled off a little, Trojan horse, plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Ed Skirin as Atticus Noble, the admiral.
He looked like a douchebag. He just looks like a douchebag. Got the douchebag haircut. Pants are too tight on his uniform. He looked like a douchebag.
Kind of looks like that in everything. He plays a lot of douchebags.
Yeah. Some people are really good at playing douchebags.
Nearly dying just made him more crazy because he was an asshole in the first movie, but now he's like unhinged.
Motherfucker's psycho. He did not all his brain parts came back because some of the gray matter got left behind.
I like when they wake him up and stuff, and he's like, you know, the chief medical officer is like, commander or whoever the second in command was, like, can you come down here to the
medical bay, please?
Cause... And he's like, you can hear him on the radio, let me out of here, fuckers, you work for me.
Just screaming and throwing a fucking toddler tantrum.
And then, like, he rolls up in there, he's like, yeah, what's up? And he's like, tell these fuckers to let me go back to work. And they're like, but sir, you know, you almost died, there's, like, protocols that we have to go through these tests. He's like, oh, tests, really? Like, hand me your gun. And then he shoots the dude in the face, like, anybody want to do any more tests? No,
we're good.
You're good, sir, let's find your pants. Let you get back to work.
Get you out of the goo.
You brought that on yourself. Like,
I can't help it.
I didn't mention the goo.
No.
You went back to goo and pipes.
I can't help it. There was goo and pipes and it was gross.
Probably goo on his pipe.
It was gross. He didn't have a pipe.
He was walking around with that fucking plug in the back of his head.
That's why his pants were so fucking... The Matrix! That's the movie that I keep thinking about. It's like, yeah, that was... There was Matrix elements in there.
I already said, yeah, it looked like Neo when he first wakes up in the pod.
Fucking... Ugh. Goo. I don't like it. Anyway. Anyway. Where the fuck were we?
We were at goo and pipes.
I'm not doing any more of these with you until you get some Strike Force or something. Because we don't ever do these till it's like I've been at work all day and I'm like, you know what? I'm batshit crazy and I don't know what I'm saying, but it's okay.
Oh, you fucked up my chair sitting in it.
I didn't fuck up your... How did I fuck up your chair by sitting in it? What?
You don't sit in a chair correctly.
I can't. pants.
You're sitting on your feet and like leaned all back, and now the back's like all out of whack, and then like my back's hurting because I can't get this thing to
whatever. Sit correctly. Quit whining. Stop being a little bitch. You're fine.
You're sitting in Brad's chair from now on.
Fuck you. I'm going to sit where I want to sit. A lot of people can't sit in chairs correctly. It's an ADHD thing or an autism thing or something. I don't know. It's one of those things, but it's killing me to sit straight up right now. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. It's killing me. If I can move my legs without kicking the fucking table and making the thing vibrate, I'd already do it.
I'll get you like a...
I need to... They make a chair for that. They make a flat chair where you can put your legs up on it and stuff. There's no arms on it, but it's got a big base so you can...
We can get you a high chair and then you just move the mic up higher. So then you can dangle your legs like a child in a seat that's too big for him.
That would be okay. I can't sit up in a fucking chair. It's not right. Anyway, why are we discussing chairs? Why are you launching a personal attack on me? Talk about the fucking movie, asshole. Oh, that's what we're here for.
Filling time. Okay. Have you not listened to the podcast? That's why me and Brad end up on tangents. We go down like side quests.
Brad and eventually is a fucking tangent.
Meander back to the main quest.
Anyway.
Oh. And Sir Anthony Hopkins as the the robot
robot shaman man that went off into the woods and put deer antlers on his head.
Yeah, like what the fuck? Like, yeah, when we last saw him, he you know, mechanized something other.
Yeah, something like that.
They were like robot warriors that served the king, and when the king died, they just all like shut down and were like, nope, we don't listen to anyone else. And they just became basically like worker bots, but refused to pick up weapons. Well, he kind of grew a liking to one of the village girls, and when she was about to be, was being held hostage by some of the soldiers, homeboy actually comes in and caps dude in the face and then fucks off to the woods for the rest of the movie. And when they come back, he's like still like hanging up in the mountains with like fucking deer antlers
and
he's
a cape hanging off his shoulders.
I've become the guardian of the woods.
I've become the prince of the mountain. I am now Bandy's father, and I don't know, it was fucked up. But he took the antlers off to fight. You should have left the fucking antlers. If you're going to go with the aesthetic, go with it. Leave the tattered cape on.
Still had them on when the battle first started and it kind of got knocked off.
I don't think so.
But yeah, you know, Korra goes to, they hide her stolen dropship for part of their plan, and he just happens to like show up and scares the shit out of him. He's like, hi, James. He's like, no one's called me that since blah, 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 blah. Oh, sorry, angry C-3PO. And she's like, you know, us fighting side by side is their biggest fear. And he's like, yeah, I'm kind of
ambivalent. I think you're going to get fucked and I don't care.
She's like, well, then why'd you save the girl? And he's like, I don't know. I just kind of felt like it would be a shame for her to die. And then goes
she
back
was
to,
pretty. I wanted to
watching, watching from afar. But then, yeah, they run homeboys off, you know, on the first wave, and then all the ground soldiers show up,
and they got ground shoulders.
Yeah, ground shoulders. Then they gotta fight off like wave two, and they're like, "Hey, yeah, we've won again." And then the tanks show up. It's like,
and then
fuck,
like, fuck.
We only fought the advance guard and the infantry. Now the armored units have shown up, and we're pretty well fucked. And then that's when Murderbot finally decides to intervene and shows up and just starts stacking fucking bodies.
Like, this is my particular area of expertise, is missing all these fucking weapons and bullshit, and I got this, and I don't know.
Yeah, I do like, when there was, for as kind of much shit as we've given the writing in this movie, the effects and acting, I mean, it needed balance.
Mm-hmm.
It was great action effects. That's where they spent all their effort. And then the acting was just kind of okay. I'd like to see a little more balance, but the effects were cool. I like how they did the guns. When they hit something, it kind of gave like this molten effect. So it's like, it could have been bloody as shit, but with it just being like, oh, someone got shot and you see like fucking like, looks like molten lava go flying. It just kind of made it like, oh yeah, it's not blood everywhere, but it was pretty much blood everywhere.
Yeah,
it made it at least look cooler.
How would you know? Nobody hits shit. Nobody hits shit. Dude with the tomahawks was fucking more people up than everybody with the laser guns.
Yeah, and they keep going slow motion in the fights, and at one point I'm like, I'm pretty sure he just hit that guy in the ass with his with an axe. Guy went down, so
but he stayed
asshole
down
must be
too.
A,
it's
be
like
a
I'm just
mortal wound.
You just took all the hit damage, and I don't. You must have rolled a fucking two. I don't know what happened to you because you just got smacked in the ass and went down like a light.
Yeah, that's when you know when stuff started going to shit, because Homeboy actually picked up a rifle, but he still kept one of his hatchets. Mm-hmm. And then he's, like, shooting people and tomahawking them. And, you know, of course not wearing a... He's like, I can't fight with a shirt. Like, the whole first movie is, like, just shirtless. And he finally, like, all right, I'm going to be a farmer now. I'm going to put on a shirt. And then it's like, oop, time for battle. I can't... My nipples must be out, or I can't kill anyone.
That is my secret weapon. It's like, what's his name with his hair? The one from the Greek mythology. Cut off his hair and
Samson?
Yes. Cut off his hair and he no longer had power. If your nipples aren't out, you don't have power.
It's just, you know, added shock. That's why if, you know, someone ever breaks in the house, I'm not, you know, getting dressed. I'm going to run out, no pants, plate carrier, and a rifle. It's just added psychological damage. I mean, doing the unexpected is one of Cooper's principles of personal defense. Yeah. People are going to be like, what? What the fuck?
That's psychological damage to me.
It's a naked man with a plate carrier and a sword. What the fuck's going on?
And a cat. A cat on his shoulder, because his fucking cat's going to be there, too.
I'll just throw the cat through the door like a freaking flashbang grenade. Just... Mittens, there's tuna in his pocket. Go!
She might. She might. She is my cat. She might.
And
fuck these motherfuckers.
Bean to start tweaking his head, spin around, and he's like, goes like full Pet Cemetery.
I think you mean Exorcist, but okay.
No, you remember the demon?
No,
cat
Church.
From Pet Cemetery?
Yeah, you're talking about Church. Which was the cat's name for some stupid.
Speaking of which, have you seen the Pet Cemetery remake?
No.
I watched that the other day. It's fucked up.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody dies.
Well, yeah, pretty much everybody died in the first one, except the dude, the dad. Everybody else died.
No, and this one, like, literally, like, everyone becomes zombies.
Oh, it's okay.
Like,
well, that's fine.
There is no, like, no one survives.
That's fine.
But
anyway,
yeah.
Where were we? Dropship hidden in the waterfall. And.
So, yeah, their big plan is, like, once they kind of fuck up the initial wave and the few officers all bug out and try to fly back to the ship, they're like, we're just gonna fly right behind them and pretend we're damaged, so they'll let us land, and then we'll fuck up the big ship from the inside before they decide to start bombing us from orbit.
Pretty clever, because you know it was pretty clever. You put the fucking smoke grenade up in the thing so it looks like your ship is smoking, and you cover yourself in blood, and
you know, like Han and Luke in stormtrooper armor.
Yeah, kind of. More blood, though.
That's what we need. We need, I think the book was called Death Trooper.
Mm.
It was basically a zombie story in the Star Wars universe.
No. No, no.
That's the movie we need.
No.
Star Wars horror movie.
No.
Bear with me now. Just picture this.
I'm listening.
Zombie Ewoks.
No, I like the Ewoks the way they are.
Zombie Ewoks.
I will rep the Ewoks for now till fucking ever. I have seen both movies multiple times. There were only two. The Ewoks are fucking awesome.
Yeah, but this book was basically a zombie outbreak on an Imperial Star Destroyer.
No. You can't have clones and zombies. That's just too much. It's ridiculous.
I mean, you didn't watch Ahsoka. There was pretty much zombie stormtroopers in Ahsoka.
No. I did watch some of my... I think I watched Ahsoka. I don't remember. Anyway, where do we go? We're getting off.
So, yeah. Yeah. Of course, Admiral Fuckstick survives the initial battle and is able to retreat to the ship because...
Because that's what douchebags do. They live through it all. Douchebags live through it all.
Well, it's like those memes where it's like, you know, this one thing would have ended the movie quickly. It's like, you couldn't kill him because you needed the climactic battle. Because, you know, they start... sneaking around the ship, Korra's trying to pull an Obi-Wan Kenobi and go, like, you know, sabotage the reactor or whatever.
Yeah, that looked like a woman's face for some reason. It was a woman's head, like, pouring energy out her mouth. It was fucking weird.
I know you haven't played a lot of, like, Warhammer and seen a lot of, like, the Warhammer lore, but, yeah, this is pretty much Zack Snyder's, like, I want to make Magnificent Seven, but in the Warhammer universe, because this shit pretty much a lot of Warhammer aesthetics.
No, I haven't seen Warhammer.
Kind of like, whatever, H.E. Geiger type shit. So you get, she goes to blow up the thing, and then, they're like, well, fuck it. You know, she's on the ship. Like, if we kill her, we don't have to, like, continue this, like, campaign. So we don't need the wheat. So let's just blow these motherfuckers up and get the fuck home. Go find her. And, like,
wait, our ship has a big fucking gun that'll shoot a whole fucking village off the face of the planet. What the fuck are we doing?
We gotta nuke them from orbit. That's the only way to be sure. Aliens.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what you do. They're actually about to release another one of those. I just saw that today. A tidbit about they're making another Aliens.
I've not watched any of the, like, the Prometheus or whatever, the new knockoff stuff. I think the last thing I watched was, like, Alien versus Predator 2.
But that was fucking awesome. The first one, anyway. I didn't see the second.
So, yeah, they, finally, fights her way back to the ship, and, of course, the Admiral's waiting on her, but her little boyfriend shows up and shoots
Admiral Psychopath.
His, bodyguard, but then he gets shot himself, and of course, the bombs go off right before they're about to...
Well, they did shoot it. It's just they missed because...
They went high because the ship started blowing up.
Guns got jiggled when the ship blew up.
Yeah, you never want to jiggle your guns when you're trying to shoot. No. You got to maintain... You got to follow through.
Yep. Got to keep it level. Don't change your stroke in the middle of a screw. You're going to fuck it up. Don't change your stroke in the middle of screws. Fuck it up.
Oh... So, yeah, then we get the climactic fight of her finally having to fight try to kill the Admiral again.
Yeah, this time do it fucking right.
While the ship is blowing up around you.
Make sure he's fucking dead this time.
I did like the sword fight while sliding down the ramp of doom. Just kind of falling and continuing to fight as you go.
Reminded me of Black Widow when they're falling off the thing. The ship's falling, whatever. We're fighting the whole way down because that's what we do.
And, of course she starts to lose and he's like, choking the fuck out of her. And she's not saying harder, daddy.
No, she was screaming like a little bitch there for a minute.
But then, again.
Shut the fuck up.
Boyfriend wasn't dead. Mm-hmm. He was just mostly dead. Yeah. And shows up and.
A lot of motherfuckers in this are mostly dead.
Stabs dude, through the back, and this time, like, all right, next we're gonna make sure he's dead. So they lock him in a door and cut his head off. It's like,
chop that fucker thing off.
So you're not coming back part three, motherfucker. We're gonna make sure you're dead. We're gonna Highlander your ass.
I don't know, what was it, fucking Fifth Element? They brought her back from a hand on a door handle. I don't know what kind of technology that goo has.
We've got his pinky, we can rebuild him.
Yeah, and he came back crazier the second time. Let's see what the fuck he comes back this time. He's gonna be slobbering and drooling on himself.
It's gonna be like Deadpool, where it's like adult his body survives. It'd be his body with like a baby head.
Instead he'd be of licking like, the windows, just walking around. Admiral licked the windows.
It'd be reverse Deadpool. Instead of like an upper body with like baby legs, it's adult body with baby head. He's having to like regrow his head. Or his head, that got cut off, starts regrowing a body. So it's just a full baby body with a giant head.
There
he
just kind of
keeps tipping over like a big bobblehead.
With a douchebag Nazi haircut. It's great.
Space Nazis.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what they look like.
What's that movie? Iron Skies?
I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Oh, it's fucked up. It's basically German scientists fled after World War II and started a colony on the moon, so there's Nazis living on the far side of the moon, and they try to reinvade.
And then the Transformers show up, and then they kill them, and it's fine. We've discussed, like, bunches about more other movies than this movie. Way more about other
all more interesting
way
movies.
Way more about other movies than we have about this movie. Get the fuck out of there.
Well, I mean, you said the acting was bad, but when boyfriend dies, she actually had a emotional response that she didn't have earlier. Yes, but it was badly acted.
It was badly acted.
Yeah, I prefer her in The Kingsman.
Yeah.
That was the lady with the sword legs in Kingsman.
Yeah.
She was also in one of the Star Trek, new Star Trek movies.
Okay.
But she was an alien, so.
No. Well, okay. Same.
Oh. And then, of course, yeah. Well, oh, yeah, we never talked about Nemesis is at the start of the battle. You know, they send a unit around the back to, like, kill the women and children that are hiding in the longhouse. But, of course,
the women were badass anyway. The women did better in training than the men did. They went all fucking
homegirl with a little with the fucking cannon and shit was pretty badass. So like,
yeah.
But yeah, so they show up to kill the children, but Nemesis is there waiting on them. And I mean, she eventually goes down, but she fucks up a lot of people on her way.
Yeah, she did. And then you got the little kid that when she finally gets got. Dude's about to kill her, and then comes the 6-year-old with the Bowie knife, like, ah!
Comes up and shanks him.
Well, like you do.
Because, you know, he started off kind of scared of her, and eventually, like, you know, I like you, you're dark. Mm-hmm. We'll be friends.
We're friends now. I have adopted you. He was the extrovert that adopted the introvert, kind of like you.
One of us.
Yep. You adopted me. My little gothic, creepy self.
Oh, so yeah, they, so what are some of your highlights of this? We've talked a lot of shit, but have you got anything good to say about, we've kind of gone through the
whole... The scenery was good, and the world they imagined was really good. The horses with no tails and flatheads were cool, and...
Oh, and then at the, like, once they blow up the ship and escape, you know, there's like, all right, we killed a bunch of people, but now there's, like, the Air Force fixing to come in and wipe us out, and then the rebels who did not want to, you know, join, you know, in the first movie, the one rebel was like, I'll take, you know, my squadron, whoever wants to volunteer, and I'll go help these people, and, like, his sister's like, nah, I'm gonna concentrate on the overall war here. These people are on their own, and... She finally shows up with all her fleet and fucks up the remaining remaining soldiers. Like, I'd like to see more of that. If they do, like, another movie, because that to me, when, like, the rebels showed up with their ships, I'm like, all right, this is more Star Wars.
That was more
X-wingy. Like, I want to see a whole movie of, like, that type of, like, space fighting, because that'd be pretty badass seeing those...
yeah, that was pretty cool.
Those gunships dogfighting in space and whatnot. It's one of my biggest complaints of all the new Star Wars shit. Like, I want a fucking actual Rogue One movie where it's, like, just basically Top Gun in space. I want X-Wing, like, a whole movie about X-Wing pilots.
Mm-hmm.
I find the pilots way more interesting than I do some of, like, you know, the Jedi bullshit. Kind of like why I think I like The Mandalorian so much, because it's, like, it's not wizards and swords. It's, like, you know, fucking soldiers doing soldier shit.
Yeah, but I like the wizards and swords part.
Mandalorian. Weapons are part of my religion.
I'm a Harry Potter.
This is the way.
I have spoken. Anyways.
But you were saying?
I don't know. Visually, it was good. I mean, basically. Visually, it was good. There was a lot of good visuals, and it was a lot of good action, and shit blowing up, and it looked good.
Yeah, if there was not enough action in the first one for you, the second one is the movie for you, because it's, like, not a lot of exposition, a whole lot of action.
Mm-hmm.
With the first movie, there's some action toward the end, but there's a whole lot of exposition and going and recruiting people. Where this one, and, you know, we had, like, a whole bunch of different worlds, different environments, where this one, pretty much, we stayed on the little farming planet or in the ship through the whole movie. So there wasn't as much kind of variety of visuals, but
I like the spider bitch in the first one.
Yeah,
what's her name? The Nemesis, or
when they go to recruit Nemesis, and she's rescuing a
child
that's been kidnapped
bitch.
By this weird spider lady on this, like, city planet.
Yeah, I like that one. She was cool. I enjoyed that.
The Imperium's weaponry too is kind of cool. I like the spider tank thing that showed up toward the end that they're like, yeah, we've won. Oh no, we haven't won. They've got spider tanks.
Yeah, spiders. I don't know. Kind of look like a fucking beetle or something.
Like some diesel powered, like y'all got like space shit and like this thing shows up belching black smoke like some,
exactly. Why are your fucking spaceships steam powered? Why are your spaceships powered by fucking fire?
I mean, it looked like a redneck doing a blowing coal at the red light. I mean, just all
this smoke. Fucking take apart a train and make this shit.
I mean, you got space lady reactors up in your big ship. Can't y'all like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why's your fucking tank got to be diesel powered?
Precisely. That's it. Why is it space diesel? We don't have space diesel. This is
it's goo right. powered. Goo burns black when it smokes
shut up.
Black.
Shut up.
Burns.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Goo in pipes.
Shut up. Finish this up by yourself and keep it up.
But, yeah, then you get the whole post, battle, burn the bodies, Ewok style, and,
Viking style.
It's like, yo, we've, we honor the dead, and she's finally like, don't speak of me and honor in the same thing. I've lied to you all. I'm actually so-and-so. I was the, I
murked
killed
the princess.
And the, you know, General Titus is like,
yeah, no shit.
Yeah, I've known the whole time, child.
No fucking shit. I already knew that.
He's like, but she's not dead. He's like, huh? What? He's like, she's a being of magic. You think, like, you know, you could kill her so easily?
Well, yeah. Well, her parents damn sure died so easily, so well, what makes her like, special?
Freaking, well, they didn't have magical powers.
Why does she have magical powers if her mom and dad don't have magical powers?
Didn't you watch the first movie?
Yes.
Well, in that, they, like, said, like, it kind of was like skipped a few generations that like I guess an ancient king had these healing powers and shit and now she just kind of reincarnated with them like but yeah it's not something that's followed the bloodline it's something that occurred way back when in the bloodline and times
of
legend.
I missed that part because I don't remember that part but
yeah because you play with your phone and don't watch the
movie. I did too watch the movie.
You were easily distracted.
I was watching the movie with Carly though. Squirrel. Carly was watching the movie with me so that might have been part of the problem.
That's why when she got shot, there's that big, like, fucking flash of light and whatnot, so. They don't, but yeah, if we get another one, maybe we'll find out what the fuck happened. But he's like, no, she's actually, like, alive and shit.
How the fuck does he know? He wasn't there. How does he know?
Maybe he heard a thing while he was in those gladiator pits.
Telepathic now? You know what happened? What, because you wasn't fucking there, you didn't see shit.
So yeah, they're like, well, you have a purpose now. Like, you know, you've saved that, you...
And your boyfriend's dead, so, you know, nothing holding you back here. So your boyfriend's dead, it's fine.
You should, you know, find the princess and save her. And so that's our purpose now. We find her and fight. And even the robot, she's like, you with us? And he's like, well, if she is truly alive, I serve the bloodline of the slain king. I have no choice but to go stack bodies. And if, you know, if nothing else, I still have my antlers. I can go back to being the mountain guardian if this doesn't pan out.
I'm going back to being a hobbit. Thank you very much.
Fucking, he's like a, looks like a damn Wendigo.
Mm-hmm. When, yeah.
So you think this, you think this thing deserves a part three? Or you think it's like, eh, this is good enough?
I mean, can we get another director for part three?
Not a huge Zack Snyder fan.
Can we get another director for part three? Well, what else has he done?
Justice League, bunch of the DC shit.
Yeah, but the DC shit's mostly bad. Most of the DC shit is bad. I mean, Wonder Woman didn't have the greatest acting in any world either.
That was, but he did the Superman, like, Superman, I think Justice League. Yeah, like, the bad ones.
I didn't watch any of those.
You're not missing much.
I didn't watch any of those. That was intentional.
Like that's another thing. Like good actors in bad movies. I hated Henry Cavill as Superman, but he's badass as The Witcher. Like
true.
Everything I've seen him in outside of Zack Snyder movies, I'm like, oh, this guy can actually act. He's like a good dude, and he's a nerdy motherfucker too. He like builds his own computer and plays Warhammer and shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would hang out with that dude. He should have been the new James Bond, but.
That would not... Actually, that's not bad. I might even watch it with him. That might be bad. Not be bad casting.
But yeah, him as Superman, I was just like... I mean, he looked the part, but he was in a bad freaking movie. So as we kind of wrap the... All right. One or two, which do you have a favorite in the group?
I liked the different worlds and the different creatures from one. I liked it all where they went to the several different environments and stuff.
Yeah, one to me felt more
one
epic
kind of
journey.
Dragged on a little bit.
I mean, yeah, it definitely had its slow parts, but
yeah.
One felt like more kind of epic in nature, where this one was more contained, but more violent.
Mm-hmm.
So the action guy in me is like, all right, I like this movie, but I think the first one was kind of better done than this one.
Probably.
But yeah, I don't know if, like, pretty much one and two told the whole story of Seven Samurai or, you know, Magnificent Seven.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't know where they go from here.
You got Magic Princess. You gotta go find the Magic Princess. It's fine.
So yeah, as we kind of wrap up here, final thoughts on this Noche here. It's
Nacho Libre. I don't fucking know. I'm
Nacho
sorry.
Libre,
I don't know. I developed Tourette's. All of a sudden, it just sort of popped out.
It's a little spicy. You got a little bit of a little pepperiness to it. I do like a peppery cigar. But also has kind of that, with that Maduro wrapper, a molassesy, not a sweet, more of a caramelly
sorghum
sweet
type.
Yeah, like I said, like a molasses, a bourbony sweetness to it.
I wouldn't know. I didn't even get a cigar for Mother's Day, so like you know.
I was here watching the kids. I couldn't go get a cigar.
I know. I'm just giving you shit.
You should have got a cigar on your own.
I should have. If I had realized I was recording tonight.
I brought you one last night, so.
If I had realized Brad was going to pull a bullshit, you know, his bullshit, then I would have gotten one on the way home, but I didn't know that at the time.
But yeah, I mean, it's decent if you, I'm not going to say don't watch it, especially since it's on Netflix. You know, if you already got Netflix, it's not going to cost you anything more to watch it. And, you know, if you got nothing else to do, I'd say it's worth a try. I said, I'm not going to say this is like, oh my God, this is amazing. You have to see it. For that, I would say go watch The Fall Guy because that is awesome. But it's worth watching if you got nothing else to do. It's a good way to waste a Saturday night.
Yeah.
But that's all we got for you this week. We're going to be right back with some science.
Cosmic Pizza Podcast, your pizza delivery guys,
Paul,
Dan,
Sean,
Casey,
serve you a slice of life. We talk to women in comedy, voice actors, directors, producers, and authors.
We also talk about conspiracy theories, our top three films of the decade, famous people we confuse with each other, and our favorite stand-up comedians.
We've recast Star Trek and Babylon 5 and created alternate superheroes.
But most of all, we have had so much fun doing it every 2 weeks.
2 weeks!
Cosmic Pizza Podcast is not about the cosmos or pizza.
Yes, science! And hey, welcome back. It's time for some science.
Yay, science.
So,
I can't get that down. I just can't get that shit down. It doesn't work. The timing is off, or I don't know. It doesn't work.
Yeah, so, first up, DARPA. Those crazy guys who make you know all the scary things that will kill us eventually. announces the first test of incredible Manta Ray-inspired uncrewed submarines. Now, not only do we have flying drones, we got submarine drones, apparently.
We don't need people anymore. We can't afford to feed them anyway. We don't need people.
The craft is being built by Northrop Grumman, which are also the same people who make your local mail trucks. Which is weird, because they also make a whole lot of weaponry.
Yeah, well, there's a whole series about that shit. What was it? One of them. Oh, fuck. One of the gun manufacturers, but they also make something weirdly weird. Like
Glock and horse semen.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. That's if you didn't know that well, Glock is also very big into equestrians. And yeah, they sell horse semen for championship breeding purposes.
That's because fucking racehorses splooge is very, very expensive.
When asked why, they said, because we don't like people, but we like horses. That's why we make guns and horse semen.
Yeah, there you go. They don't make it. They process horse semen.
And I'm totally stealing someone else's joke. Go check out, I think it's like Youth Pastor Kyle. It's the Instagram page. I always see that he does these funny skits about what, you know, companies that you think are normal actually made one. Yeah.
Wasn't there one that did porta potties and then made something fucking really weird? Or they made, I don't know.
I don't remember seeing the porta John one. Whatever, the fat electrician, he's the one that did a whole thing on Northrop Grumman making the mail truck, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Project was announced in 2022 and is getting ready to kind of launch their prototype uncrewed underwater vehicle, the UUV. The test will take place off the coast of Southern California in February or March. I guess that's already passed, so... No word on whether or not it succeeded.
suck. What did?
Yeah. So this device can carry large payloads over long distances underwater with no human on board for support. And during deployment, it can spend periods of time in hibernation, anchored to the seabed to conserve energy. So yeah, a bunch of these fuckers like hiding out in the ocean, loaded up with some nukes. Shit goes bad. You know,
why not? Why fucking not? This is how you get fucking... Oh my god.
But successful full-scale Manta Ray testing validates the vehicle's readiness to advance toward real-world operations after being rapidly assembled in the field from modular subsections. Dr. Kyle Warner, DARPA program manager for the Manta Ray project. Basically a combination of cross-country modular transportation, infield assembly, and subsequent deployment demonstrates the first-of-its-kind capability for an extra-large UUV.
Skynet. That's what it is. This is how you get Skynet.
Yeah. No details on what extra-large means, a.k.a. nuke. So far, most of the technical specifications of the craft themselves has remained classified. Most of what it will actually do is subject to rumor at this point. But they have some pictures of it. It does look like it's kind of roughly manta ray shaped with a kind of a tail fin rudder assembly looking thing.
Somebody was watching too much fucking Aquaman.
Yeah, it does kind of look, now that I see it, it does kind of look
it
like
looks
those
like
little,
the ships in Aquaman.
Ships from Aquaman. Well, the best spies in the world work for Hasbro because, I mean, I remember back in the day, like, before the Stealth Fighter was actually officially released to the public, there was a G.I. Joe, like, toy that looked almost identical to what was eventually released as the Stealth Bomber.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of, robots that will eventually kill us, I keep telling you, like, if you don't want Terminators, quit building fucking Terminators.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have the Therminator. It's the first flame-throwing robot dog, and it is for sale.
And legal. Hey. Apparently unregulated in 48 states.
Hey, you can buy flamethrowers now. I keep trying to get one. You keep telling me no. How about if I get a robot dog to go with it?
No. No, 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 no.
Just have it patrolling the property, you know, burning trespassers. It'd be awesome. Yeah, so that, now this is available for purchase to the general public. So Ohio-based company Throwflame is selling the Thermonator on its website with a price tag of $9,420. Yeah, faux-20. With free shipping, by the way. So if you got an extra $9,420 laying around, you too can have a flame-throwing remote dog.
Yeah, why not? It doesn't have a head. That makes it kind of weird. It's creepy.
Yeah, like most of those Boston Dynamic dogs, they don't have heads either. I guess that also what kind of makes it creepy. I mean, you could probably glue a Halloween mask on it or something and give it a head if you wanted to.
You're not going to bond with something that doesn't have a head.
So yeah, the remotely operated quadruped robot is mounted with an arc flamethrower fueled by gasoline or a gas diesel mix that can spurt out a 9-meter, that's 30 foot in Freedom Mutants, flame from its nozzle. And it's armed with laser sensors to help navigate and avoid obstacles. And you can control the robot using a control pad that displays it in first person view, kind of like the whatever racing drones. Fortunately, right now, autonomous control is not an option, so it can't. It's not AI equipped that it can, you know, become sentient and chase you down on its own. It does need a human operator with some kind of remote control.
That's
to,
just so far.
Yeah.
And that's just what they're telling you. That doesn't necessarily, you know.
The website also has a defense procurement and export portal for any militaries interested in buying flame-throwing dogs.
You're going to take one of them fucking things over somewhere that's really dry and set the whole fucking country on fire, which is not going to go over well.
Yeah, but like you said, it's largely unregulated in 48 states. The only states that have restrictions on flame-wielding weapons are Maryland, where you must possess a Type 9, 10, or 11 FFL, and California, where you can still have flamethrowers, but they must fire less than 10 feet.
Well, this one says 9, didn't it?
Yeah, this one, no, this one, that was 9 meters, which is 30 foot. Okay. So yeah, you can only have a 10-foot flame in California. So, yeah. But the rest of the country, you're good to go. Apparently it's, oh, never mind, that's the, fucking, not a flamethrower, which sold 20,000 units. So having a flamethrower is the new cool guy thing. I don't yet have one.
But yes, dear.
Need one for the collection. Just saying.
It's yes, dear. Missing it. I've already told you, buy what the fuck you want. Buy what the fuck you want.
Oh. So, also speaking, I had a whole lot of formerly uncrewed thing is now
the
crewed.
The fuck? The fuck?
So, the first ever crewed launch of the Starliner is scheduled. The Starliner will begin to regularly carry astronauts to the International Space Station next year. NASA astronauts Barry Wilmore and Shuhita Williams will be the first people launched aboard the Boeing Starliner, which will be a partially reusable commercial vehicle that will bring people from the U.S. to the International Space Station and other locations in low Earth orbit. So, you know, whatever SpaceX and whatever Amazon's space company is have already made the leap to crewed rockets, but this is the first crewed test flight for the Boeing based space exploration company. I mean, so far they've had several uncrewed test flights of this rocket. The Starliner was supposed to have its first crewed flight back in 2017, but it's been postponed time and time again. The latest postponement, which moved the test from late August of last year to this month, because of issues with the parachute system and a wire on harness problem. So now they think they've gotten all the bugs worked out, so they're finally going to launch this thing with peoples on board.
Well, hopefully they got all the bugs worked out. The peoples won't be coming back.
If everything goes well, both in orbit and a successful landing, NASA will certify the spacecraft as an operational crew system for long-duration missions. And will officially start bringing astronauts to the space station in 2025.
Well, that's cool.
And last week we talked about the Fallout series. One of the kind of plot points was the old rule of thumb. That's why the Vault-Tec mascot guy is always giving you the thumbs up. And, you know, in the show they say that basically if you see a nuclear blast, throw your thumb up. If the blast is smaller than your thumb, you can run away safely. If it's bigger than your thumb, you might as well kiss your ass goodbye.
Mm-hmm. You're done. You're just done.
So, apparently, a real scientist of, did a little research into this idea to quell all the rumors. People were like, is this, this real? So, undergraduate physicist at the University of Leicester decided to kind of check this theory.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at smaller blasts that have been done through history, choosing a blast of 15 kilotons, the size of the blast created when the U.S. dropped the little boy on Hiroshima. So the team looked at how far you would have to be from the mushroom cloud for your thumb to cover the blast, which would be around 7.8 miles. Or 12.6 kilometers for you non-Americans.
Do you really think we have viewership in outside of America?
I see the stats. I have foreign listeners. Shout out to you guys.
I'm pretty sure I'm a part of this thing, too.
You don't look at the stats. I see them. I see them where people are watching. So they said, that actually wouldn't, you got me off my notes here. So yeah, if the blast happened on the ground and you were, at that 7.8 miles, it would possibly be kind of a correct. Assuming the detonation occurred on the ground, the radius of avoiding small burns is 2.9 miles away from the blast center radius. And for radiation sick, symptoms, you need to be like 0.97 miles, I guess, farther out. So, I mean, you would be safe from the initial blast and radiation burns if you, like I said, your thumb can cover the blast. But depending on winds and fallout, you don't want to be downwind from that shit because, you still could get a fatal dose of radiation. Like he said, if your thumb covers the bomb, run like fuck, you might have a chance. Hoping that you're upwind and not downwind.
Good fucking luck. Fucking luck.
Once again, video games are somewhat correct. But that's all I got for you this week. We'll be right back with some nerd news.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in nerd news.
And welcome back. It's time for some nerd news.
Yay, news.
Hey, better that time.
Nah.
So yeah, we got a host of some trailers, we got some game news, we got some TV news. First off, we've got a new full-length trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine.
Fuck yes. Can't wait to see that one.
Super excited about this. I mean,
I love Deadpool.
In the comic books, in the animation, like Deadpool and Wolverine those are two of my favorite characters. And I've been watching the new X-Men 97 on Disney Plus and going back and rewatching all the old 90s X-Men cartoons. I forgot how good that shit was. And seeing, Hugh Jackman decide to suit up one last time. And he's finally wearing the freaking yellow spandex leather, whatever, from like the comics. He's got finally, and it's taken like five freaking Wolverine movies to get a comic accurate outfit for Wolverine. So I cannot fucking wait. And if you're fans of the Loki series, it looks like Deadpool is now working for the TVA, trying to save the multiverse or some such shit. who knows? But this trailer looks awesome. And of course, it's Deadpool. So and this is the first Deadpool in the MCU proper. So it's like, he can't do cocaine no more.
I love that
sequence of him in Blind Al. He's like, you want to do some cocaine? I can't. Feige says the one thing we're not allowed to do. No Bolivian marching powder. No Forrest Bump, which was one of my favorite cocaine lines.
Forrest Bump?
And
or Bolivian marching powder.
A forest bump.
Oh, okay.
And the do you want to take? Yeah, do you want to rethink that, or do you want to take a deep, deep breath through your forehead?
Yeah. Well, that one's just right up your alley. Anyway.
So yeah, that's scheduled for July 26th. So we're almost there. We've had to wait several years, but we're finally getting Deadpool in the MCU. Next up, that 90s show. Did you watch season one of that?
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, it's on Netflix. It's the sequel to That 70s Show. It follows the kids of our original stars, and it was really good. Like, I love Red Foreman as a character. He's the grumpy old man. The older I get, the more I'm like, yep, Red's right. I understand why he doesn't like these damn kids in his basement. But, yeah, season two is going to bring some other big 90s stars in for guest appearances. Our favorite drug dealers, Jay and Silent Bob, are scheduled to make an appearance in Point Placid, I think it's the name of that town, but yeah.
Former drug dealers, now they're just businessmen. That's how that works.
So yeah, Jay and Silent Bob are, you know, Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes, you know, as appearing as their characters in season two of That 90s Show, along with, looks like Seth Green's going to be making an appearance. Yeah, season two is going to be broken up into two parts, with the first half coming out July 22nd, and the second half, I believe, is October 24th. So, if you haven't watched season one, we talked about it we did an episode on the show here. Highly recommend going and watching season one before season two comes out. Are you a fan of pinball machines?
Yeah.
Were you a baller back in the day?
A little bit.
Well, we've got a. I mean, you pass on your way to work now. There's a freaking pinball museum. We still need to go check that out. But
yeah.
They've just announced that John Wick is getting his very own pinball machine. Stern Pinball is going to release a new series of pinball machines inspired by the series of John Wick. So the players will step into the role of the world's greatest assassin as he fights to escape his past. Players can engage in high-speed car chases, fast-action drifting across the playfield, which incorporates models and artwork inspired by iconic locations from the franchise, including the New York Continental and the Red Circle Club. You'll be able to open John Wick's weapons crate and reveal hidden shot targets along the path, and this game will actually feature an all-new dynamic AI combat system to control the enemy lights on the playfield, and enemy icons will be responsive to player behavior and will illuminate dynamically around the playing field and challenge the player. It'll also have clips and sounds from the movies and will come in three different versions. If you have some extra cash laying around, it'll be the Pro model, which is going to be $6,999, Premium, which starts at $9,000, and Limited Elite models for $12,000, limited to 1,000 games globally.
Mm. Well, that could actually be kind of cool.
So yeah, hopefully I can find
I wouldn't mind playing one.
A John Wick pinball machine to play at some point. And the artwork too, you can follow the links in the notes. The artwork looks really cool.
Mm.
Also, and this one's coming up here soon, The Crow is coming back to theaters for whatever anniversary it is. So May 29th and 30th, check your local theaters because Brandon Lee's The Crow, the original Crow, is coming back to theaters for
that
weekend. Yeah, I mean, I love the original. The sequels were not great, but
yeah, we should go see that because that would be fucking awesome.
But the original Crow, I wouldn't mind seeing that back on the big screen. It's been a long time since I've seen that one.
I liked that one. That was a good movie.
And speaking of things from the past,
where all the good shit is, because none of the good shit... We don't have any good shit now. All the good shit's in the past.
Twisters is back, coming out July 19th. We finally get the long-awaited sequels to the most famous movie about tornadoes.
Mm-hmm. That did not contain sharks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you got to make that distinction, because Sharknadoes, you know.
Forgot about Sharknadoes, yeah. But yeah, the original most famous...
Yeah.
Well, what about The Wizard of Oz? That's also kind of tornado-related.
Yeah, well.
What did you think of the trailer? It looks cool, but...
Looks like it's going to be like what we watched for this. It's going to be visually very good, and the acting might not be there.
I'm kind of interested to see, though, because, I mean, I forgot how long ago the first one came out, but technology is definitely...
improved?
Advanced a lot, so the effects of the tornadoes...
might be, yeah.
I mean, some of the destruction that they were showing, it looked pretty legit. I'm kind of... And it's also got Hangman from Top Gun, and it is like the... You know, it's... Yeah, and this one looks like
Tornado Cowboys.
Yeah, you've got the prim and proper scientist team, and then you got the kind of loosey goosey cowboy tornado chasers, and they got a team together to test some device that will actually stop tornadoes. Apparently, you did see the old Dorothy from the first movie, but does it?
I still think it's the same truck too. it's the same red truck,
like old 90s Dodge Ram.
Yeah.
I kind of want one of those. It looks cool. But yeah, other than the Ram and the Dorothy, I didn't really see any. I don't know if she's supposed to be the daughter of the original stars or what, because it never really says in the trailer, but it doesn't appear anyone from the original cast returns. Well, half of the original cast is no longer with us, because...
True.
Bill Paxton and, what's his name? The larger guy that drove the van.
Oh, yeah, shit, I can't remember his name right now.
Yeah, but, yeah, so, other than, I mean, Helen Hunt's still around, but, yeah, most of the rest of the cast is no longer around, so, don't know if there's any relation to our original stars, but, or it's just like, we're just gonna do another tornado movie and base it on the technology of the original.
Well, why not?
We shall see. And finally, you know how much a fan of horror movies, we are around here. Saw a trailer for one coming out the end of this month, May 31st, we've got In a Violent Nature, which kind of reminds me of old school Friday the 13th. It's like, I miss the old 80s slasher movies, and this looks like, you know, an unstoppable dude in the woods wearing a mask like and killing people.
Budget Jason.
Except this one looks like a freaking diver helmet or something on.
Yeah, something.
I don't know if it's cooler.
It's like an old school gas mask.
Or less cool than a hockey mask, but yeah, I'm definitely getting Jason vibes. It looks like a return to the old school 80s slasher films from the trailer, and I'm kind of excited to give that one a shot when it comes out.
I might have to double up on the coffee in the morning. I can feel it coming.
Well, with that, that's all we got for you this week. Check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're also on the ESO Network at ESOnetwork.com. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Cigar Nerd Pod. We have a YouTube channel where you can see our lovely faces and also see me do a whole bunch of other random shit. That's at Cigar Nerd Podcast on YouTube.
And I'm not allowed to plug TikTok, so I'm not going to plug TikTok because I'm on TikTok, but it's fine.
We get your energy drinks at StrikeForceEnergy.com. Get promo code Cigar Nerds. Get your shirts at RealMenSmokeCigars.com. And with that, find her. And fight.
Yep.
Mortal Kombat! And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.